everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. He's being ably assisted all this week by our fine 8th grade intern, Madison. Madison, you have just done such a great job. I want to do a big shout out to you. This is, you're kind of midway through your little one-week internship, but it's gone very well. Sean and David, Madison has learned. She showed up right on time, 11 o'clock this morning. You don't see that kind of work ethic from an 8th grader.
Not, well, no. The next generation under millennials, we've got hope. You're setting the standards high.
Yes, indeed. All right, it is the Buckmaster Show. It is the monthly showdown, and there is no shortage of things to talk about. Today on the showdown, two gentlemen with me in studio. They rarely agree on anything. However, I will say, our leadoff topic, they were both on the same page on this one. In the right corner, it is Sean McCluskey, KVOI talk show host, Tea Party and Republican Party activist. And to the left of me, David Morales, creator of the Three Sonorans blog site. David's number of hits on his blog have now reached 3 million. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's about 3.1 million.
That's amazing.
Too.
And what went on at TUSD probably helped to boost those numbers. Okay, so the now hiring sign is out at 1010, the headquarters for TUSD. Gentlemen, I know you both were on the same page on this. You felt it was time for Dr. H.T. Sanchez to go. But I'm telling you, the perception among many in this town, Sean and David, well, the board just ran off another superintendent.
Then they're not paying attention. If they feel that way, they simply are not paying attention, because if you look at the caliber of student that is being produced by TUSD, it is affecting our entire community. And if people think that they're producing a great high standard student, then when they show up at David, they shouldn't need remedial training.
I've gotten into a lot of heated debates with my former allies, you know, who were with me on the MAS issue on TUSD.
The Mexican-American Studies issue.
And it's been very actually disheartening for me to, you know, see them just kind of, you know, there was a lot of politics involved in the last 2-3 weeks. And just to kind of to shut off all critical thought and to just believe what politicians were telling them about H.T. Sanchez, it was, it's been very hard to just, you know.
You experienced what I experienced as a Republican. How'd it feel from the left? From your own, from the left, they did what they do to us all the time. And that's just perfect to sum it up that way, is that they shut off all reason and they quit looking at the facts. And the fact is that they looked at, if you looked at the graduation rate, you looked at the attendance, you looked at the population of TUSD, you looked at the cost per student, and you look at the money they receive and where it goes, and you look at some of the things that HT's done with it, he broke a whole bunch of rules and nobody seemed to care. I mean, if you were a supporter on the left, you were just blind supporting him.
Well, one thing that bugs me a lot is, you know, you had all these people showing up. And yesterday at TUS, at the Duffy, it was raining. It was pouring outside. And all his supporters came out. And H.T. Sanchez. So first of all, when in 2013, when a new board was chosen, which included Crystal Foster and Cam Juarez and TUSD, they changed the superintendent. John Pettacone resigned. Peaceful transfer of power. And then in 2014, you know, where Crystal works in Sunnyside, they had a board recall. They changed the majority. Izquierdo says, okay, I'll resign. I'm going to go away. So now here's a new board change. Something that Crystal's always supported is, okay, when there's a board change, you have a new superintendent. But because it was her man that, you know, was involved in this, they were talking about continuity. They were talking about all this stuff. You know, he had to go. And, you know, it's one thing that says a lot is that one of Crystal's supporters, Derek Harris, was saying that he gave off, when he spoke at Call the Audience, he's gave off a list of superintendents who, when they were fired with cause, they almost always win, you know, in a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And he named off a whole bunch of them. But, you know, it was kind of ridiculous to hear this, because the meeting began with H.T. Sanchez's resignation. And they voted on it, and they approved it. He's gone. And so here's the thing is, H.T. Sanchez, who had all his community there standing up for him, didn't even stand up for himself, didn't even show up to say thank you for supporting me. He resigned. He quit and had Adelita read the letter shamefully because he can't even show his face. And so all his supporters were just there repeating the talking points, but he couldn't even show up to say thank you. Okay, you know what? We came to an agreement. $200,000 to go away? That's a lot of money. And,
Yeah, and so you're saying you should have shown up, read the letter himself. And
When John Pettacon resigned, yeah. He was there, and Adelita was next to him, mm-hmm. and they said, okay, you know, time to part ways, whatever, but it was...
Well, regardless of that, the district needs someone now. Do you think an internal search would be the first step, Sean, that they should take?
Somebody local.
Somebody local. Kind of move forward quickly with this. Somebody local. What is wrong with local people getting local jobs internally in some of these big organizations?
Well, nothing's wrong with it. It's just that we always seem to choose to look outside. I mean, Oral Valley looked outside. They chose two people. They scrapped their search. They're going to start over again. You've got the University of Arizona picking two folks. One of them, I think you and I agree on. It's kind of funny because the guy's from ASU.
Yeah, he's ASU.
You've got Flowing Wells looking for a superintendent, I believe. You have TUSD looking now. And it would be wise to pick somebody who's local. If you pick somebody who's local, they know what they're getting into. They know the soup sandwich they're getting handed. They know that they're walking into an absolute mess. It's going to be an uphill battle, and it's a fixer upper, to put it in terms that I deal with. Mm-hmm. And it might be extreme makeover. I'm not quite sure, but you know, you've got the DSEG that you have to deal with. You've got $68 or $64 million annually that's pending there. So do you keep it? Do you get rid of it? Are you being effective with what you're doing? Do you shut down schools? Do you consolidate? I mean, there's a lot to be done in TUSD, and ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to figure out, how do you get the teachers more money?
You know, I think TUSD and the U of A right now are kind of on similar tracks. And I think there's so many talented people here in Tucson that you have to go local. If TUSD does not choose a local superintendent, they're going to mess up. And I'll go after the current board like I went after the last board. You have to understand the unique situation that TUSD is in. The desegregation order has lasted 40 years. There's a reason for that. When you keep going outside looking for people, Tucson is a unique place with you know, how close we are to the border, the Native American reservations, our relationship with Phoenix within the state. You know, it's a very unique, special situation. And I think with the U of A, they're going to mess up too, because the two finalists are outsiders. You know, one is Crow's, you know, assistant or whatever, and another person's from Texas. And U of A, you know, who I would have chosen was Joaquin Ruiz. I mean,
Joaquin Ruiz, yes.
The College
he
of Science.
The favorite internal candidate. Someone has just called on the live line. Let's go to them. And they want to know about, why did Dr. H.D. Sanchez resign? Go ahead, Christopher.
Yeah, my question is, why did he resign versus having the board terminate him? I know there were a lot of private executive meetings and so forth. Is there a backstory here that is not public? Why, I don't understand, why resign versus go full throttle to the very end and get fired?
So you bring up a very good point, because the reason this has lasted 3 weeks is because, you know, firing him with cause is a huge thing, because as...
It's the messy solution.
You almost always lose. The superintendent can sue you, and you almost always lose.
You're going to end up in court regardless.
You're going to go to court, and you're going to have to, the district would have to prove the cause. And they will then, the attorney for the superintendent would say, this is a relatively young man. Here's his potential earning power mm-hmm. for the next 15 to 20 years. So we are asking for
millions,
$5 million mm-hmm. or something. Yeah.
So, I mean, I've kind of, now I don't know what goes on in executive session, and I don't even bother to ask, because I don't want any, you know, hint of violation going on here. But I do know that we've been given information to board members. I mean, I've been doing this for years and years on my blog site, Three Sonorans. And basically, there was a bombshell dropped on him yesterday. I mean, we have dug up stuff that it's clear violation. possible felony. You know, I'm not going to say that's why they fired him.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that.
But you're saying a bombshell was dropped, and so he decided to take the resignation.
There was a laundry list of items that they had that they could have went to court with, and it would have been a messy battle on both sides. It would have been expensive. And this is a meeting of the minds. Now, this at the end of the day, this is an HR issue that is typically not handled out in public.
Right.
And when you do it in public, it obviously gets messy. It takes three weeks, and you get a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. But that's what TUSD needed, because it was the only way you were going to get to this resolution. If you didn't start down this path, you would have never gotten to the, hey, you know what? Let's not go to court. Let's just part ways. It saves face on HT. He gets the opportunity to go get another job.
He can then apply for another job and say that he resigned and...
We parted ways.
Parted ways.
Yeah. Nobody quit. Nobody got fired.
This was actually a really good finale to this saga. I mean, in Manuel Izquierdo in Sunnyside in 2014, when there was a board recall and he was ousted, well, he asked to resign. They give him a $500,000 going away package. Here, HT is getting $200,000, which seems like a lot, but it's actually like just like a few months of his, you know, how much he gets paid. And there's a lot. The question that was asked was very important. The fact that he resigned, something bad happened, and he knew that if it came to light, you know.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, and when we come back, the showdown. What Sean McCluskey has now about the chief of police here in Tucson, Sean is not happy with Chris Magnus, and we're going to find out why, and David's going to go at it with him, I'm sure. It is the showdown. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, where do you want to go this summer? We'll talk with Ryan Hansen of Tucson's Bon Voyage Travel, plus attorney Don Luce with the latest Arizona legal news, all happening on the Buckmaster Show, which airs on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got worldwide live streaming, podcasts, and our complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. Okay, welcome back to the showdown. First segment, too much agreement from Sean and David. Here's where the disagreement begins. They have plenty of agreement on both of them about TUSD, but now here's where the disagreement begins. Sean, you've been ragging on the police chief on Facebook and on the air. I was listening to you here on KVOI Saturday afternoon. What's your thing against the police chief, Chris Magnus?
Started out, I said I'd give him a chance, yeah. And I did, and I liked what he did. I liked his beginning moves, and then all of a sudden he became, I don't know who in the city council or who in the mayor or what, put their thumb on him and said, you need to go hard left. And all of a sudden you're seeing moves that just don't show any support to his troops, which is odd, because in the beginning he was all about the troops, and now it's, okay, let's do everything contradictory.
Did asking some moves, for videos, well, of that recent demonstration.
The recent demonstration, he asked for everybody to turn in their cell phone videos and turn them into IA. Well, you just asked for everybody to rat out your own people. That's not very good of you. Then here's the interesting thing. If you watch the confrontation and you see the tactics of the police officers, they go into basically self-preservation, and they protect themselves, and they do what their training kicks in to tell them to do.
And some 80-year-old woman fell or something?
No, she was not. She did not fall. She was approaching aggressively and was told to back down several times, did not do so. Then the officer stuck his hand out and said, you're not going to attack me, and she hit the ground. Hmm. You can take it any way you want. You can take that he stepped out and he pushed her down. Either way, the chief now wants to train them differently, and so he's changed all the training officers at the academy.
So he's going touchy-feely, in your opinion.
He has gotten all like Care Bear, and I'm not really happy with that, because at the end of the day, the police officers, men and women, need to get home safe to their families, and their training right now has worked for 30 years, and you ask any of the officers, they're fearful that something bad's going to happen to them because of his current actions.
Dave, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I was listening to your show this week. Well, I actually called in, and we were arguing a little bit, but I think, you know, to ask for a video, you know, this is the thing about holding people accountable. Like, teachers need to be held accountable. Catholic priests need to be held accountable. You know, everyone needs to be held accountable. And, you know, the Republicans are always about, oh, if you're on welfare, you got to get drug tested because what do you have to hide? And
let's hold people accountable then. We've got the mayor getting carjacked. The police chief came out, said nothing. You got the city council, said nothing. Then a kid gets carjacked in a car, and the chief comes out and says nothing. But yet his own officers are getting walked upon, where he himself did not dispatch enough people to properly contain the situation. He left two officers out there by themselves to defend themselves against 20 to 30 people. That's shame on him. Shame on the city council for leaving them in that position. Exactly. Hold people accountable. Hold them accountable, David. But, they're on your team.
But see, it's an illusion that you're talking about right now, because first of all, you're talking about peaceful protesters.
Walking down the middle of the street where they do not have the right of way, where they're stopping traffic. They were asked several times to remove themselves from the street. They disobeyed. They continue to walk down on the officers.
This is what protesting is about. You do walk down the street sometimes. But see, that's the interesting thing about all protests and there's been a lot talked about this. This minute you block traffic, all hell breaks loose. And that's weird to us. It's like, why is traffic so sacred that when a bunch of people are protesting, that's what gives police the right to just, you know, start showing their force? Now, in this case,
they can't drive through you.
There is nothing wrong with asking for video, which expresses the truth. You know, you put all the video together.
I disagree with you.
So what you're saying is I don't want the truth.
No. What I'm saying is you're the chief of police. Mm-hmm. You go down to your internal investigators and you say, you know what? You guys, this is your job. You go do your job. You go get the truth. You find out exactly what happened. And that is how he handles it. He doesn't need to get out there and go in public and scream on top, hey, let's investigate my cops because I think they're dirty. That's what he said.
No. What he
that
said,
is exactly what no, he said. Not a, perception that, is everything. What's it look like?
Okay.
He may not have used those exact words, but that is perceived. Okay. He does not trust his
said,
guys.
What he said was, if you have video, please submit it.
Because he doesn't trust his guys. That's exactly this,
but,
what
you
he's
know,
saying.
Calm down a second, all right? If people turn in their video, they have evidence. That's evidence.
No, they've got a perception.
So, okay.
They've got an angle.
What are they trying to hide?
They're not hiding anything.
Okay, so there's no problem in turning in video.
Yet what they're hiding is ineptitude by the chief of police for not dispatching enough individuals to protect the officers who are
dispersed
in the crowd.
Should the cops have anything to fear by having more video on them and their actions?
I can show you an angle every single time that somebody looks like they did something
wrong. No, that's
wrong.
Not true, Sean. If first of all, right now as we speak, there's a 62-year-old woman who got...
Who approached aggressively, was told three or four times to ask to be walked out of the street, and she did not. She aggressively walked down the cop.
Aggressively walked. Yes. 62-year-old woman
absolutely.
Is aggressively
in
walking
a crowd
down the
of 8 people or 12 people or 30 people? Yeah, absolutely.
Sean, these
watch
are people.
The video.
I know.
Watch what the cops did.
The
problem what was the next move? After she got pushed out of the way,
you're defending the actions
against a 62-year-old
woman.
The cops went and they got their pepper spray and they pepper sprayed everybody because they were so badly outnumbered.
It did not need to come to that.
No. The protesters could have easily moved themselves out of the middle of the street
no.
when they were
don't
asked
you know
several times.
Is? This is civil disobedience.
Yes, the cars were blocking
the
road.
They weren't there with guns. They weren't going to cause any violence. It's the cops. Every protest I've been to since 2010 when I really got involved in activism, the cops always instigate the fight.
Really? I've been to 900 Tea Party protests. I've actually shaken the hands of the cops. I bought them water, had donuts for them, and everything else.
And who are the white? Who are the tea protesters? They're
everybody.
White people.
Oh, No, David, not in this town.
David, when you called Sean's show on Saturday, you were also concerned about a disconnect that Sean is not supporting police and fire with the half-cent sales tax.
Well, so my problems were that Sean is going to, start a pact to stop the half-cent sales tax, and he's going to recall it. He doesn't even live in the district, and then he's talking about
in the city.
In the city, and he's talking about...
I don't live in the district that I'll recall either. It's okay.
And then he's talking
about... Because it's okay that I don't live in the district because the Board of Supervisors have a 3-2 vote against me right now, and they vote for things that I don't support, like worldview. They wasted $19 million there. So, prove to me that it matters that I don't live in the district.
The thing is, I listen to the show, and there's an Oro Valley person, and there's a Marana person trying to destroy Tucson. And you guys benefit from Tucson all the time. You guys take our RTA money. We're the biggest, donors into the RTA, and we're fixing all your roads. We're making
RTA is a scam. It's an additional tax, in my opinion.
It's an additional tax that benefits Marana and Oro Valley.
It's proof that Chuck Huckleberry and the Pima County Board of Supervisors, excluded for the two in 1 and 4, can't do their job appropriately.
Does Marana and Oro Valley benefit from
absolutely.
That? Okay, and who's paying for it? Tucson.
That's your own fault because you voted for it.
But why punish the city, though, Sean?
I'm not punishing this. Well, okay. It's why would you reward the city for stupidity and ineptitude? Okay. Why would you reward them for bad behavior? Why would you reward them for wasting so much money? Why would you reward them for stealing last year $6.9 million, I believe the number was, from the police department and $4.5 million from the fire department, and then coming out this year and giving out $2.9 million in bonuses and saying, oh, we don't have any money. How do you not have any money? Okay, you just received $800,000 on your basically company credit card that you use. And what are you doing with that? Here's the one thing that's funny about that. They want to protect the poor. They want to protect the people that protect this community, but they don't even provide the bulletproof vest for the men and women that serve this community. They make them buy their own after they cut their pay, after they cut their clothing, after they've cut their hours. Go ahead. How are you supposed to live on it? The cops are barely walking around surviving on food stamps. But it's okay. Let's raise more taxes on a town that can't afford it because we haven't had any increases. We've had no economic development from our city council, from our mayor. They sit there and they say they're doing everything, but they're really not. They're going to raise a half-cent sales tax, and then they're going to increase your utility expense by 21%. That's $80 a family.
Let's see if we can work two calls in 2 minutes. Debbie, go ahead. You're at 790-2040. Debbie.
Hi, I'm calling to let Sean know that I've been listening to Wake Up Tucson for a few years now, and I've been listening to a lot of Republican stuff, and I gather that Sean is a Republican. I don't know who he is, though. I don't know what his credentials are or why why he has such a mouthpiece on the air. And I just want to let you know, Sean, that you're such an argumentative man, and you just holler and overspeak people, and it's like, Wake Up Tucson has opened my mind on a lot of quote-unquote conservative Republican issues. But when you talk the way you do, you make people cringe. No one can hear you.
Okay.
Well, I was just going to jump in when you were talking about, you know, you're using a lot of hyperbole. You're talking about police, you know, people being on food stamps and their cars don't work, their computers. It's just not
true. They don't
work.
All right. Adriana, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so I'd like to go back to the protests that happened downtown. And I want you to know that these people are not, there was an actual report that came out, and you can even ask Chief Bagdas, that came down from Phoenix, from the Tobacco Bureau and Firearm Intelligence. These people were sending a message down here that these people were asked to wear black masks, to turn over cars, and to engage Border Patrol agents. And it's there. It is there. They knew what these people were going to be doing. These people came wanting a fight.
Okay. Thank you, Adriana. Max is up next. Max, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm a former law enforcement officer, and I'm currently doing loss prevention now.
Uh-huh.
And in defense of law enforcement, older people are not as feeble as they may seem. I had a 70-year-old gentleman, when I was making a detention, jump on my back and try and choke me out.
How old was that person?
He was 70 years old.
Whoa. Hey, there's a 70-year-old guy at the gym that's pretty buff.
You know,
oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Sean, I can't think of the gentleman's name, but Sean McCluskey's opponent. Right now.
His opponent is David Morales, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mr. Morales made it sound like just because somebody is older that they're feeble. And that's not the case.
I mean, I can see what you're saying. I mean, I'm sure there's some strong 70-year-old, 62-year-old women out there. But this was a peaceful protest. Okay, the woman was walking down the street. And
did the officer know she had a weapon or not?
She didn't have a weapon, and she got bloodied.
Did the officer
Oh, the officer. Did he know?
I don't know. She didn't have a weapon, though. She got
That's
bloodied.
The
she,
point. That's
they,
the point.
They dropped her to
did
the.
Not know she had a weapon or not.
They're supposed
he
to be here.
He needs to defend himself.
So then everyone is a potential, you know,
yes.
danger. And so
yes,
when
exactly.
you when you see a 62-year-old woman, you need to throw her down to the ground and bloody her up, and then the video goes
no,
viral.
I'm not saying that, but when she is approaching him aggressively, he needs to assume that she has a weapon. It means to do him harm.
Well, we're in trouble because, you know, when 62-year-old women are bloodied and thrown to the ground by cops, then this is a weird America that we're heading into.
All right. Max, thank you very much for your call, and we do appreciate your background in law enforcement. Sean McCluskey, thank you very much. Sean,
always, sir.
Always
thank
a pleasure.
You.
And David Morales, always fun with the showdown, which was... We started off as a Thursday, but we're now on the first Wednesday of the month for our showdown, so we'll see Sean and David together in April. Be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental and Commerce Bank of Arizona. Be sure to bookmark your calendar for the Tucson Festival of Books, March 11th through 12th. The Tucson Festival of Books is a literary extravaganza, attracting 130,000 book lovers to the beautiful U of A Mall and nearby venues for exhibits, author presentations, and panel discussions. The Tucson Festival of Books is very grateful for the generosity of all of our sponsors. All proceeds from the festival are directed to improving literacy rates in our local communities. Please join us as a sponsor and to make Tucson and Southern Arizona well-read. For sponsorship opportunities, visit us online at TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org. That's TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
Did you know you can still donate through Tax Day to Arizona Qualified Charities and claim dollar-for-dollar state tax credits for 2016? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our live line number is 790-2040. If there's anything during the upcoming half hour that you hear that you would like to kind of clarify, if you've got a question, we'd love to hear from you as well. But right now I want to tell you about one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive to a lot of fun over there in that part of the southwestern United States. If you're into the outdoors, and who isn't? Hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, great place to hike, or just hike around historic downtown Silver City with all the great restaurants. So there's a lot to do. The full listing of the many things to do and the many great places to stay at Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Let's bring in now David Saphir. David is one of 24 regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. David writes primarily about education at the TucsonWeekly.com, their section that they call The Range, for a wide range of topics, David, that pretty much goes from A to Z. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, Bill. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Very serendipitous after the big news about Dr. H.T. Sanchez. Mm-hmm.
over the last 3 weeks, this has been an agenda item about Dr. Sanchez's future. You were at the meeting a week ago Tuesday, and you were at the meeting last night. Just generally a few of your observations, please.
Okay. Well, first, before I go into that, I was listening to David and Sean talking over the radio when mm-hmm. I was driving down here, and I don't want to dispute what they were saying about Sanchez, but I do want to dispute what they were saying by inference about people like me. And I supported Sanchez and think he did a reasonably good job. They said that people either weren't paying attention or were completely political if they supported him. I do pay attention. That's what I do. I write a lot about education, and I read the same evidence that they read, and I read it differently. And no politician tells me what to say ever. I decide what I'm going to say based on my own best idea of what I can see. So I would say that I am both informed and not listening to politicians. And the interesting part of that, and I will be quiet about this in a minute, but the two of them argued ferociously about the police chief in Tucson.
Yes.
And either one of them could have said about the other that they don't understand the situation, they're just listening to politicians, but they didn't there when they argued. So I say it's the same thing. These are people on different sides of an issue who possibly, and I know those two are both very well informed, mm-hmm. know what they're talking about and put together all the data and come to different conclusions. So enough about that. Yeah, I was at both meetings, and the meetings were what those things always are, which is pretty much theater mm-hmm. with, you know, obviously the votes and the discussion and things like that. And there were a lot of community people there. There were about 150 a week ago and fewer this time, and even a spillover outside. So a lot of people came. I think more people came, I can say certainly not, I think, in support of Sanchez than against him. But regardless, this was the decision. And I do want to say that I don't want to litigate this thing anymore. Mm-hmm. I am a strong supporter of public education and of TUSD. And what I want to see is an orderly transition to a good situation with a good superintendent. And hopefully, I don't know if it's going to happen, but hopefully a board that can do things that are going to be working together for the betterment of the students, which is the bottom line. You know, Bill, I was a classroom teacher for 30-something years.
And what did you teach again?
I taught high school English, but okay. I also taught photography for 10 years and advised the school yearbook, so I did a number of things. And I was where the rubber meets the road, which is not the boardroom, not the principal's office, not the superintendent's office, but it's where the adult contacts with the students and does their best to move them from wherever they are to a better, more educated place. And that's what it's really about. And I hope that board members and everybody, administrators, everybody realizes that this sounds like a cliche, but it's true. It's all about the kids.
What can you tell us, David Safir, about the agreement that was reached between the board and Dr. H.T. Sanchez?
Well, I have the whole thing in front of me. It's a 3-page document. And by the way, I have to give a shout out right now to the Tucson Sentinel, which is an online—
Our friend news. Dylan Smith.
Dylan
yes.
Smith. Mm-hmm. They had the best article on what happened that I've seen, gave me all kinds of new information. And they also linked to this separation release agreement so I could get it there. Dylan does a terrific job, him and his staff. I don't always agree with the opinion, but boy, mm-hmm. I learn a lot whenever I go there for the articles.
And so, a quick plug for Dylan. He'll be one of my guests on Friday on our Friday roundtable. Well, go ahead, David.
Tell him I said that.
I will. I'm sure he's listening. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay. Hi, Dylan. How you doing? Anyway, I have this agreement in front of me, and it's really interesting. What happened basically, so far as I can tell, I don't have any ins at what happens in the executive council meeting, is that the two sides decided if we fight this out tooth and nail, like the people were saying before, and it can go into all kinds of litigation, cost phenomenal legal fees. It can cost, if Sanchez won, millions of dollars to the district. So they said, what's the best way to work this out? Sanchez knew he had a 3-2 majority against him.
Right.
So all of them got together and put this agreement. So I've got pieces of it. The agreement is not an admission of anything. That's what it says in this agreement. In other words, Sanchez isn't saying I did anything wrong, and the district isn't saying that they did anything wrong. Not only that, but they can't sue each other in the future over things. So Sanchez can't say, this really angers me, I'm going to sue. And the district can't say, we found something you did that was terrible and we're going to sue you.
In other words, you can't reopen the book.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And at this point, there really is no direct legal criminal evidence saying that Sanchez had done anything that is felony or a misdemeanor or, you know, cross the street.
And we have no idea, as David implied, Morales, that a bombshell was dropped on him on yesterday.
Right. My sense is that there wasn't a bombshell, but it was probably going to get nasty and ugly, and there were things that they were going to bring out. But I doubt if there was any felony-like bombshell. But, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they found him dead to rights, but if they did, they might have gone after him differently.
Okay. Continue on, please.
Yeah, there is, and this is really important, there's a non-disparagement clause.
What is that?
Disparagement means talking badly about somebody. So Sanchez cannot talk badly about the board members. He can't say that Mark Stegeman, he did this and that and the other. Likewise, Mark Stegeman or Michael Hicks or anybody else can't say, we know that Sanchez did such and such, and we're sure of it, and that's why we fired him. They can't do that. And the interesting thing about this agreement is if one of them speaks badly about the other and they're sued by the other person, the district is not liable at all. The people who sued, they got to hire their own lawyers. Mm. And if there's a judgment, if you owe one $100,000 for disparagement, that comes out of the person's individual pocketbook.
Whoa, not out of TUSD.
TUSD
is protecting themselves here.
Right. They're separating itself. Absolutely. And that it's kind of good because it gives a moment of pause for anyone who wants to violate that agreement. So if you don't hear anything terrible coming from the board about Sanchez or anything mm-hmm. terrible from Sanchez coming out of the board, that's because they can't do it by law, by agreement, unless they want to be sued mm-hmm. up one side and down the other. Mm-hmm. So everything is done here to make it as clean a break as possible.
Now, David, before you continue, and there's a lot more to talk about. Luckily, we have another segment. We are going to take the break right here, and we're going to come back with David Saphir more about the agreement between the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board and now former Superintendent Dr. H.T. Sanchez after we take the break on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the first day of March 2017, brought to you by Green Things. Jan and Jack, the owners, they are to be congratulated. They took the original property, about 4 acres, expanded it to 13, and what they have done with that property at 3384 East River Road, it's beautiful. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, you get such great gardening advice from them as well, like cutting the roses in January. You'd think, oh my goodness, I can't cut them back in January. What if we get really cold weather? Well, they did. Some of the Green Things people out to the Buckmaster house, cut the roses, and guess what? They are really coming up. Green everywhere. Where? Where it should be. GreenThingsAZ.com. David Safir is with us, and I've asked David before if he gardens. He does not garden, but he likes to see things grow.
Oh, my God, yes. And I have my area, and I have a reasonable amount of land in front mm-hmm. of my house. It's pretty much xeriscaped, and mm-hmm. it grows on its own. This is a natural selection thing, and it does well, you know, without more than a little bit of watering of pots right around my house where I have some nice stuff, but mainly cactus and things.
All righty. David is sharing with us some of the terms of the agreement between the TUSD Governing Board and now former TUSD Superintendent Dr. H.T. Sanchez. And by the way, 790-2040, if there's anything you would like to add to this, and you can find David's work at TucsonWeekly.com. He writes about education, among other things. Go ahead, sir.
Well, there's really only one more piece left about on the agreement, which is really important in a general sense. I mentioned the Tucson Sentinel. If you go on there, the top story is about the board meeting, and it links to this agreement, which I just downloaded from there, so you can see it as well. The last piece really is compensation. Dr. Sanchez was paid up through Tuesday. In other words, every dollar he was owed, I believe, up through Tuesday, he got, as of today, no more salary. But he's given a $200,000 go-away compensation. And since his annual salary, I think, is around 260 or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's
before
the equivalent
benefits,
of 9 mm-hmm. months A lot of the benefits he gets, by the way, he returns to the district when he gets it. So I'm not sure if he would keep them or not. But regardless of his salary, that's about 9 months' salary. He has about, I'm going to say, 18 months left potentially on his contract. Mm-hmm. So he got half, maybe 40% of the amount he would have made otherwise, which gives him a very comfortable cushion to take a while to relax, to recoup, to get over this thing, and then to look for other superintendent jobs, which I'm sure he will. He's a very young man and a very bright man, whether you like him or not, and will, I think, probably find a place to land comfortably.
Quickly, David, some of your thoughts on some of the thread that was moving through my Facebook post about Dr. Sanchez. One Facebook friend said it is naive to think that changing superintendents is going to change much at TUSD. Your reaction to that?
Well, I guess the best way to deal with that is an analogy. You know, the way I've said Sanchez leaving early doesn't bother me too much, as I thought, okay, he'd probably be out in a year and a half. And I was thinking, okay, Barack Obama was just our president. Some people hated him, some people loved him, but I knew he was going to be gone, and I knew somebody else was going to replace him. Now, there's going to be a new superintendent, and I would say most likely, unless he finds somebody who's unbelievably wonderful or really destructive, it won't make a great deal of difference to where I would be if I were at TUSD, which is in that classroom with a bunch of eyeballs looking at me and talking to me, mouths talking to me and things. But
yeah, because
it's not
the students,
insignificant.
The students don't really care that there's been this change at the top. They care about what's going on in their classroom and what their teacher is talking to them about.
And as a teacher, I only thought about my superintendent when they were doing something that was going to genuinely affect me, or, and for that matter, the principal. I didn't think much about the principal. I was there. I was an independent agent working in my little business. My little business was my classroom, in a sense, and I was doing what I was doing. And so long as I was doing a job where other people thought it was a good job or thought it wasn't a bad job, I was pretty much left alone, and that's the way it's going to be. So if, and I really hope, they choose somebody who's going to be a good steward of the district, it will make differences around the edges, and it might make differences stretching into the future, but it probably won't matter much in terms of the day-to-day lives of the students, any more than Sanchez, a student, would say, boy, it was night and day once Sanchez came here. Or a teacher, for that matter, would say, my teaching was completely different because of Sanchez being here. It's different, but it's not that huge.
And we'll get some idea perhaps tomorrow when we talk to the board president, Michael Hicks, about now how this search will go. We'll also speak with our contributor, one of our fine contributors, Dr. Robert Hendricks, the UA education professor emeritus, who has been involved in a lot of these searches in districts around the country. So his perspective is going to be interesting, too. So does an inside candidate, maybe that might be the way to go for
TUSD? Well, it may be. By the way, if I were to ask Michael Hicks a question, it would be, do you folks have any inkling of a person or people who you want to make sure is on your superintendent list, you know, possible hires, whether they have someone inside or not, or maybe somebody who had been in the district previously who's no longer there, who knows, as people were saying in the first section today, who knows what goes on in TUSD. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's absolutely necessary, but if there's a good person to move up to promote from inside, that's just fine. It's not the biggest deal. I'll tell you the one thing that I would be concerned about, though, and this is what I'm going to watch. I'm hoping that they don't hire a bean counter. In other words, I'm hoping they don't hire someone who is a new superintendent whose expertise is in management and budget and accounting and not in education per se. And the reason I say that is because I know Mr. Stegeman is an economics professor, and he's hugely interested in the way the money flows. I know a lot of the people David Morales and others are really worried about the way money has been spent. And these are people who aren't K through 12 educators, either of them. If they get someone there whose job is to make the buses and the trains run on time, as they sometimes say about leaders, but isn't really an educational expert. My fear is that the members of the board who definitely are not educational experts will then say, we have license now to determine curricular policy and educational policy. And I don't think that that is the job of the board. The job of the board is to supervise that kind of stuff, to make sure the superintendent's doing what he should be doing, to listen to the community, to suggest things, maybe even to vote on things, but they are not the educational experts. If they get a bean counter in there, someone who's more of an accountant than an educator, I'm afraid some of their ideas, which frankly can be fairly cockeyed from lack of knowledge from any of the five, and that includes the majority and the minority, that they will puff themselves up and think now's our chance to change this district in ways that they simply don't have the knowledge to know if that's the right thing to do.
Where can we find out more about your work? And you posted a very interesting column at TucsonWeekly.com about some of the threats that have been made to the Jewish community centers.
Right. I'm Jewish, and so I've been following this all my life, basically, but ever since the Trump campaign, I've been following it. If you go to TucsonWeekly.com, probably you'll see the thing I wrote with the word anti-Semitism in the title, and you can link to that. Or you can link to The Range, which is the online blog, and then you'll see my recent piece and other pieces. And as you said, you'll see things on a range of issues that go from music to the book festival that's coming up and all kinds of fun and important things that are going around the city. So that would be the way to do it.
David, thank you very much for coming
in. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check. The host is Mike Shaw. The ably assisting Mr. Shaw is Ray Allen, who also helps me, certainly, Monday through Thursday here on the Buckmaster Show. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. The show called Talking Culture, doing very well for us from 9 to 10. We're happy with the way that's going, and hopefully people are happy with the way this is going on the Buckmaster Show. 12:04, we'll be back with you tomorrow. We will have Michael Hicks, TUSD superintendent, press board president. Have a great afternoon and evening.